Baron Death of Mystery, champion of right, sweeps out of the shadows, darkening from the night. Somewhere some villain schemes, but his number's up.
3, 2, 1,
Darkwing Duck.
Let's get dangerous.
Darkwing Duck.
Darkwing Duck.
Out of smoke and he appears, the master of surprise. Who's that gun in my mind? The shadowy disguise. Nobody knows for sure. Bad guys are out of luck. Here comes
Darkwing Duck. When there's trouble, you call the dummy.
Darkwing Duck.
Let's get dangerous.
Welcome back to the Multimedia Men podcast, number 39.
Woo-hoo! My favorite number.
It is your favorite number.
I don't know why.
39.
Yeah. Who's ever used 39? It's weird.
We're all back. We've been on break for like 6 weeks. We've missed each other.
Has it really been 6 weeks?
I think so. We haven't been.
Did y'all not last while we were in LA?
Nah.
I was the Saved by the Bell recast. I don't know how long it's been.
I was absolutely.
I think it's been 6 weeks because we've all been out of town.
Yeah.
By the way, I'm Brian Kluger. I'm with Gadi Elkan.
Howdy.
Susan Kamyab.
Hello.
Gwen Reyes.
I always love how Kamyab sounds. It's so much fun.
Hi.
I like when people say it right instead of like adding a J.
Kamyab.
No, I heard
Kamyab.
Kamjab.
Kamjab. That's it. That's what we're calling you now. So Kamjab.
Kamjab.
That's how it will be from here on.
Never told us that.
It was with Adam.
Someone needs a Kamjab.
Yeah. Kamjab's coming.
Kamjab to the rescue.
We're with Adam Conway too.
Hey, what's up?
And you're
needs to wake up over there. He looks like he's passed out.
I didn't make him his chocolate milk today.
Are you
big gulps look smaller nowadays.
No, that's not a big gulp. That's a little.
Small
gulp.
That's
the smallest big gulp I've ever seen.
That's kind of
it's
like,
enough drink that two of us have it.
It's like a mediocre gulp. Yeah.
You calm down with your Johnny.
No, guys, seriously, I'm
drinking a large Dunkin' Donuts coffee. They should sponsor us. I'm drinking a large Dunkin' Donuts coffee. They have two sizes above this size.
How is the coffee?
It's really good.
You think it's the best on the market?
I think Dunkin' Donuts is the best. It goes to an extra, and it goes to an extra large.
I saw someone buying some Starbucks the other day. It made me feel sad for them.
So a line at Starbucks?
No, like get the coffee beans from Starbucks.
Disappointed by that.
And we're missing one person today, Andrew Conway, the twin brother of Adam Conway. He's off shooting a reality show, right?
Sure.
Are there naked cowboy cheerleaders there? Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Good
it's
job,
like, Adam. Cheerleaders and stuff. Is he filming that or something?
Yeah, he's not filming it. Yeah.
Well, we've all...
he's just sitting there scratching his balls.
It's come job. She's very happy, Susan. She's very happy she attended this podcast.
Do you wish that you had built a time machine so that you could? I've always told people that story and nobody has ever taken it the way y'all have.
Of course.
High five us.
Yeah.
So, as we said, we've been off for 6 weeks, and it's summertime. It's finally gotten really hot in Texas, over like 105 degrees. But we've all been places. I went to Nashville, went to New Orleans. We had somebody, Susan went to Comic-Con for her first time. She'll talk about that later. Gwen Reyes went to TCA, the Television Critics Association, for 3 weeks in Los Angeles. So she saw all the new TV shows. She sat by her best friend, Gabby Hoffman.
Oh, yeah. Guys, I'm also really excited to tell you about my neighbor, Matthew McConaughey. That's a great story.
Did you go to Vegas? You went to Vegas, that's right. Did you win anything?
No, I lost all my money.
You lost all? Well, you just expected, though.
It was fun.
You stayed in Planet Hollywood. Yeah. What room did you stay in?
Regular room.
Well, I mean, like, there's always...
No.
Like the movie room. Like there's like movie
who
posters
was our
on the room.
Wrong. We had, was it Maryland? It was Maryland. It was all Maryland.
All Maryland room?
What a
some like a hot.
It was kind of weird. We didn't choose it.
They have a Shining room there. And they have a Child's Play room
like,
there too.
Never got Maryland. It's pretty crazy.
And I think they have a Big Lebowski one too. And a Fear and Loathing. I've asked for those before. But they were taking.
I would do that.
That'd be cool.
It's flooded.
Yeah. Giant lizards.
Yeah.
Did you like, everything's like off.
Oh, and you went. You went to Wisconsin, right?
Minnesota.
Over there,
Minnesota.
Nora, Fargo.
Yeah, I was thinking about going to Fargo to look at the Paul Bunyan, but.
Did you have a good time?
It was all right. Yeah.
We've all been on vacation. We've all been doing
in
work
Minnesota,
in
nowhere.
We all had a really good hiatus.
Yeah, we all had a good time. I went to New Orleans to drink and eat. And I, in New Orleans, I ran into Dwight Henry, the father from Beasts of Southern Wilds. He remembered me from our PA tour, and he was actually working. Cooking at his bakery there called Wink's Bakery.
So did you, so for that story, I didn't get to ask him this the other day. When you, did you go to his bakery intentionally?
No, so when we were there, it was called Sachemo Fest, which is a smaller jazz festival of just local artists, like Kermit Ruffins and, you know. Some.
You're just saying words I don't understand.
So Kermit Ruffins.
These are old black guys.
So when
local means.
It's so Kermit is known for actually making barbecue and red beans and rice and bringing them to his shows for everybody to enjoy. But he's really good.
He's also green.
Yes. He's awesome. But this little Sachemo Fest, it was near the quarter by the Mint building, and it's like tents and everything, and they had some booths there of food, and Wink's Bakery was there. And I was like, it was called something else before that, but he changed it to Wink's, I think, after his character. And I went over there because I heard about his special drops, that they're like big donut holes, buttermilk drops. And I saw him definitely cooking out there, and I'm like, Dwight? And he came over, was like, hey. And I was like, hey, we interviewed in Dallas. He's like, at the Crescent. And I'm like, yeah. So we talked, and he told me that he was going to play Marvin Gaye Sr. in the new Marvin Gaye biopic. And he just filmed a movie in London with James Franco.
Whoa.
But he's still cooking at his bakery. That's what he likes to do.
Franco would get hold of him as quickly as possible.
Yeah. So that was really cool.
I like
the
Dwight.
I'll play the little girl.
I remember when I interviewed him, that was one of the things I was really taken by him, is that he has absolutely no real aspirations to be an actor. He's like, I'm a small business owner, and I love making donuts.
Yeah, he just opened his second location. He was there, when I went there the second day, he was there back cooking, and I was like, this is awesome. Like, that's what he loves to do.
I think
and
we should take
a
Multimedia Men podcast road trip to New Orleans and go eat.
Get Dwight on the show.
That would be awesome.
That would be
He was super nice still. Like, he was just enjoying it. That was really cool. And then, I guess in Nashville, I filmed a music video.
Yeah.
Which we'll all watch later.
Oh, nice.
It doesn't come out until August 19th on iTunes. But it'll be awesome.
That's cool.
It'll make you laugh.
Say?
Huh? Yeah, Chris August. He's,
Again, where did you just say?
Chris August, he did secular music, but now he's in a Christian label. But he's...
I am so fascinated right now about all the things you're saying.
So he's really good, and he's had two or three songs that hit number one on the Billboard charts on the Christian music side. And then he just had a, huh?
Oh, nothing.
And he just had a song on the Son of God soundtrack. But he's high up there.
Is this Garth Brooks in disguise again?
No, it's great. He's awesome. I grew up with him, and we filmed this song that he made, which is called, like, 8 years ago, called The Discount Song. It's all about getting discounts at, like, fast food restaurants.
Did you play Jesus in the music video?
No, there's no Jesus. There's nothing religious about it. It's really funny. It's really good. I'm in drag in the video.
Of course you are.
Of course I am.
Oh, you're in the video?
I am
Why
in the video, too.
Oh, wow.
I had to make it, too. I have to help
direct. Do you stay in drag as you direct? Is that, like, your way of doing it?
I mean,
hydros the whole time.
I prefer that. But I'll let everybody watch it after the podcast. Maybe we can talk about it, or maybe we can watch it and then we can talk about it on the podcast. But let's move. Let's talk about Comic-Con first. I want to hear Susan Comyob.
Comjob.
Our from Irvine Community Television and thischicksflix.com, Susan went to Comic-Con for her first time in San Diego, and I want to hear what it's like for a first-time young woman to attend Comic-Con. Talk about it. Tell us.
It's a great ratio for girls. So.
Yeah. is it still more heavily men to women there, do you feel?
I would say there's definitely more men, for sure. A lot of women, too, but for the most part, everybody is... I think there's a lot of normal people, but there's definitely the, like, the weirdos.
So what'd you do? What were your favorite parts? What were the worst parts?
Pretty much the best part was, like, when I first got there, I did the press conference for the 20th Century Fox films, and that was just cool for me because I've never done, like, such an official press conference. Like, I've done roundtables, but that was, like, legit.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I got in there early, so it's a good thing I did, because I was like, oh, no one's in here, and I sat in the second row because I was intimidated to sit in the front row. So I knew Samuel Jackson was going to be there, and I'm very scared.
Oh, Samuel Jackson?
I'm scared
you,
of Samuel
He would
Jackson.
Chain you up to the radiator, yeah, and say, I'm going to cure
seen
you.
How he
no one's
be.
Watched that movie.
He does not suffer fools. He will not answer questions.
He doesn't feel anything like owed to press people. Like, he will say whatever he wants. And so I was like, I don't want him to, like, look at me and be like, oh, the girl.
Awesome.
Like, what?
Would have been the best scene.
I'd be crazy if it was like he was on something else and just looked right at Susan and just started like berating her. He would never do that.
He could. I don't know. Well, I sat in the second row. I mean, I love him. Like, he was one of the best people in the press conference. But when I got there, some guy from New York was going on about how last year, and Mark Walters told me about this too, because he was there and during the Captain America Winter Soldier press conference. He was a complete dick to some poor guy that asked a question and, like, basically reamed him at the end, was like, oh, that's what we're ending it on? That's the last question? Okay, guys. Like, just... And so this guy was telling me the horror story of it, but...
What was the question?
I think he said...
Was it a dumb question?
Are you black?
I don't think it was a dumb question.
Why
I think
is Nick Fury
like,
black
Samuel
in
Jackson.
The universe?
I think it was something like, basically, like, your characters of something in the last film or whatever, and then Samuel Jackson was like, I wasn't in the last film. I wasn't in the first one. But he was. He was, like, in the very end of it, and then, so they just wouldn't let that go, and, like, press members laughed at him, and, like, Anthony Mackie chimed in with Samuel Jackson, and...
Anthony, why?
Yeah.
Terrible. Don't you like Sam?
So it just...
Terrible.
This is what I heard. I wasn't there. But either way, the panels, it was for, like, The Maze Runner. They were cool. I felt bad that nobody asked Will Poulter a question. He was just itching to talk.
I love Will Poulter.
Really? I guess
we'll
nobody's seen some.
Will. We'll love
to yeah.
yeah.
I guess I nobody's seen Son of Rambo, but I guess.
I love Son of Rambo.
I heard
two
Weird Millers.
Well, Weird Millers, yeah.
Well, I was. No, Son of Rambo is supposed
to. So, what was. Did you ask any questions at any of the panels?
I did not ask because I would have. If they put two mics at the like aisles, and you have to get up
stand
and like
up,
stand
yeah.
and do it. So
bizarre.
Which I wouldn't mind if I was, like, at the end and I could get up and do it. I actually really did want to ask a question for the Kingsman, which was, like, Samuel Jackson's panel. But I didn't want to... You'd have to climb over people. It's not worth it.
Is that Matthew Vaughn? Yeah.
What was the worst part of Comic-Con?
The lines.
The lines?
The lines are the worst part.
Did you get into any panels?
Yeah, I did. I got into... Well, I saw Evangeline Lilly's, like, short story or her book, her children's book panel. That was
she
like,
wrote a children's book?
Yeah, she's, like, really passionate about it. She
I'm really lost.
I saw a lot of panels, but my favorite one that I got into was the Gotham panel. And that one I had to wait.
I love that show.
Yes.
I love the pilot.
Agreed.
So y'all can
so
both
good.
Tell us that it's a good show to
it's,
watch.
It's fair. It's a real. It's the best pilot I've. It was the best pilot I saw in the sense of like the traditional pilot, mm-hmm. where it opens it up. I mean, we know how it's going to end. Obviously, we know how where the show is going to go.
Batman
but
hopefully, it lasts enough. I think it.
I
should.
But it's got. It opens up enough like doors that they're going to have so much stuff to do this season. It's not one of those really close ended pilots that have
they introduced so many villains,
mm-hmm.
and but just a little bit like
it wasn't Jada Pinkett Smith just phenomenal.
Yeah,
every
oh,
scene. She's
everybody's
in, still,
I was so happy for Ben McKenzie because I love him.
Denalo is
yet?
The only one that I was like,
who?
Denalo.
Yeah.
The he plays Ben's.
He's
boss.
So good in everything.
Oh,
he's so good in everything, but he's so hokey. Like, they need
he
to work
is.
On his character a little
he's
bit.
He's a little, like, because it's a dark show, and it's,
and
like,
he's trying to be comedic, but it doesn't
grounded work. For life. Yeah.
So let's talk about, we've all been to some sort of comic convention, whether it's in Dallas or somewhere else, right?
Mm-hmm.
How does the San Diego compare? Would you prefer to do one in Dallas, or would you still want to go to San Diego?
What I like about Dallas is that I do like the smaller aspect of it, because I don't feel like I had to walk all over. Like, I mean, my legs were gone by the end of Comic-Con.
It would be just going crazy.
But, and it's so packed. It's so, so packed. And I don't know, when I do the ones in Dallas, I just work them. I don't go into any. Do they have panels in the one?
Yeah, they do. They're usually in rooms.
Do you have to pay for that? Or is it the same thing where you just wait and you get in?
Yeah,
it depends now.
And they do the one mic in the middle.
I've never been to a panel at the Dallas one, so I don't know what they're
It's like the same thing.
It was pretty huge for Serenity this.
Well, the whole cast was back for Serenity. That was
except for two
one.
Of them, but yeah.
What are the costume people? How were they this year? A bunch of little weird, crazy
What were the best and worst costumes?
I saw someone do the girl from Wreck-It Ralph. What's the little girl's name? The car.
Sarah Silverman's character.
That was one of the best ones.
She had candy all over her?
Yeah, she had the little car, too. And
awesome.
Everything. It was perfect. There was a ton of Batman and Superman and things like
that. My friend won Marvel did a costume contest and she won best female costume.
Nice.
She dressed as a janitor for S.H.I.E.L.D.
Oh, wow.
So she had a little push cart and a little janitor. And she made waters.
Did you go out on the floor to see any cool, what was the coolest or strangest thing you saw to buy, to purchase, a toy or a comic or something?
I don't know.
An elven sword?
There were plenty
of Tesseracts.
I bought one, and when I did my documentary, Wizard World Chicago, bought the elven sword, Arwen's.
Buy anything weird there. I guess I did. I don't know. I guess nothing seemed that odd to me, but I'm assuming probably some sort of replica of something would have been kind of.
Probably some sex toys there.
Samuel L. Jackson's wigs. Just a series of different wigs that he was
they had the replica of the seven sex toy from
Perfect.
Lust.
But the worst costume I saw was definitely, I don't even know what this girl was, but I think I told one of you on this, but she basically cut out her jeans to be like a thong. Nope.
Huh. You told me that.
Yeah, and it looked like the ultimate wedgie, because it was, and I just saw the back of her, just the back of her butt, and it and she was wearing a bikini top. Maybe a cowboy hat? I don't know.
How much did she weigh?
I mean, she wasn't fat by any means, but she wasn't fit. She was flabby.
So a denim thong.
A denim thong.
I feel like there's a market for that.
But it was a denim thong that she created because you could see that she had cut it.
I'm just curious as to what costume she was trying.
She had boots. I think she wore boots.
With Daisy
maybe,
Duke?
Maybe she was some sort of
slutty
cowboy.
Or
maybe it's some sort of video game character.
I have no idea. I did not know what she was. Normally, at least, the sluttiest I've seen has been at, the Dallas ones with the Princess Leia's, because they wear, same thing, thongs, whatever. But at least I know what they are. I get it. But this was just a flat out, I don't know what that was.
How many girls were dressed up as the girl from Frozen?
Oh, a lot. A lot of
a
Frozen.
A lot of slave Leia's.
It's like the new Deadpool.
Girl, it was a pair. It was Elsa and Anna, and they both, they went out. They got, some huge, poofy dress that was, you could tell they spent money on that outfit. Yeah.
So here's a question for everybody. Do you think San Diego has become too big in that it's not about the comics anymore? Because I read an article. It hasn't been too big so long ago. Well, I read an article that the biggest comic book store in the nation will not go there next year because they're not making money. People are not buying.
Yeah, people aren't going to go there for comic books.
Well, it's become a launching pad.
It's more for TV
movies.
It's
strictly for TV and movies now. It's not what it used to be 10 years ago.
So do you think that's a good thing?
It's good at money making. They're making.
I mean, they're marketing
more
to people.
It's like South by. South by was too big 2 years ago.
We made the decision. Speaking of South by, we made the decision this year that we're not going to South by Southwest.
It's just too big.
It's so big, and it's also just not worth. It's like fourth. It's like a
that's a line
of $10,000 investment for us to go for 6 days.
Yeah,
that's just not. It's not worth it. I don't get my.
At least in San Diego, you do have the beach.
I've been to C2E2 in Chicago, and I've been to New York Comic Con. And New York Comic Con made me realize I never want to go to San Diego Comic Con because it's just so.
Did you say Gaslamp?
Is that Gaslamp?
It's cool, but I'm just talking about.
It's what?
I just feel like San Diego has become just
more
about, hey, we're announcing this.
Yeah,
that's
it.
It's not about anything else again.
And it's people. Oh, sorry. No, I'm just saying, and people are spent in for Hall H. I mean, they waste so much time. I think about staying overnight,
right?
To just wait in line, and then if they get in, they're just going to park it in there because they don't want to.
Yeah, I mean, the thing I get about it is they want to get some people want to get the special toys that are only there for their collection or the special comics or whatever. But then just to, I guess, like you said, I feel like it's too big. I couldn't
Isn't
imagine waiting that line.
A good thing, though, in the sense that all the other cities are getting stronger. Dallas, I mean, he got
Dallas,
out.
Dallas is getting stronger. A lot of them are getting bigger. But
I mean,
just why
from Irving to Dallas Convention Center, which is quadruple the space.
Yeah.
I mean, they could do so much more in Dallas. They could do so much more in Houston.
Yeah.
I mean, we've got anime. We've got we've got so many offshoots. It helps it out. Where Comic-Con is just everybody and their assholes.
Like, yeah, and I guess it's just because all the celebrities take the weekend to...
Well, and that was the thing, like, because it was interesting with TCA butting up right next to Comic-Con. That was one of the things that we were seeing an issue of. For me, going to TCA, usually we have really great talent that comes. We have really great panels. The networks go all... I mean, they're constantly battling us, but they were like, we're going to bring these names there. Like, they didn't do an Outlander panel because Starz was paying to bring Outlander to Comic-Con knowing that there was a built-in audience there and there was going to be way more eyes there than they were going to be at TCA.
Yeah.
So it was like, for us, for my own business, it was like taking away from me because Comic-Con's more about fans and
TCA
they're going to go...
Yeah.
Their studios and networks and stuff are now realizing it's like it's not even worth really pitching it to press as much because if the fans show up for something,
well, it's more like
fans go to TCA.
No.
Well, it's more like you have a room of 100 people. Rather, you have a room of 10,000 people who are all going to tweet.
Yeah, but those are pretty influential people. Like, there's still the presidents in the studio. Like, Kevin, wasn't he there?
Oh yeah, all the presidents were there, but it was just like there were things we were always like. These panels were just so lackluster. And then you would see what was coming to Comic-Con. And you're like, it's an Outlander panel. Like, we did an Outlander panel after we'd seen the show. Because they did an Outlander panel in January. But nobody had seen the show. They gave us, like, a clip.
They didn't bring anyone?
So speaking of TCA, I hear you have a story of Matthew McConaughey and Gabby Hoffman.
Oh, yes. Well, Matthew McConaughey did come to TCA, which was really, really cool. So in the summer, TCA, Television Critics Association, we have a biannual press junket, and it's in January for 3 weeks, 2.5 weeks, and then it's in July, August for 2.5 weeks. And it's just like day after day of panels from 8 a.m. until 8 p.m. and parties at night where you go and interview celebrities, and it's very, very...
So everybody get drunk?
People do get drunk. I don't drink at the parties because I have to work. I get sloppy, slurry.
Oh, yeah, you get angry drunk.
I do. So it's much better if I just...
Fuck you, McConaughey!
There was one time I was at the CBS party, and the CBS party is one of my favorite because it's CBS, Showtime, and CW. And they have... they're really good about bringing all of their casts and all their shows to there. And Fox is also really good about bringing everybody. It's Fox and FX. But so it was like this huge venue, and like everywhere you're looking. And I went to sit down to finally get something to eat because I'd interview all the people I needed to chat with. And sitting right across from me was Tom Cavanaugh from Ed, who's also on The Flash. Wow. He's playing the dad on The Flash.
Oh.
And he's sitting with me with his wife, and she started choking. And it was funny because I was like worried about her. And then I didn't realize until, like, maybe 10 minutes later after she was okay that he was Tom Cavanaugh. I was like, oh, that's weird. Or just talking... I thought you were a normal person talking about brisket. No.
No?
No. It was a famous person.
So what's your Matthew McConaughey?
So Matthew McConaughey. So for the TCA Awards, which is we are one of the first award seasons, we do, like, best show, all the different shows and stuff. Well, Matthew McConaughey won for True Detective for best actor. And I was like, my brother had come up, and I was taking a nap, and he was sitting on our patio, so we had a balcony. And Daniel wakes me up, and he's like, I think Matthew McConaughey is next door. And I was like, what are you talking about? So I stood out on the patio, lo and behold, right between, like, the sound wall, I hear Matthew McConaughey's voice straight off of, like, a Reliant Energy commercial. Talking about football and how he was like, he grew up in Texas, but that he was always a Redskins fan. They had the best uniform.
He visited them this year, too.
And his family would drive up to Dallas to go to the games, and he would always wear like a giant headdress. And he was just having this conversation, and I'm just like losing my shit because I'm like, God,
And this was the coolest thing about it. His voice is kind of, he hypes it up when he's in person. He hypes up that Texas, because when he was talking like normal conversation, he did not have that identifiable Matthew McConaughey to Austin accent.
I feel like he's
probably just lost it over.
I think he just lost it, but then when he has to perform, he amps it up a little bit.
Like Mel Gibson's Australian accent's not there anymore.
But it was so cool. So I now refer to Matthew McConaughey as my neighbor, Matthew McConaughey.
That's pretty awesome.
Cool. Yeah.
All right. So we all know that we've heard the best friend relationship between Gabby Hoffman and Gwen Reyes. Did you see her at TCA?
I did see Gabby Hoffman at TCA because Amazon presented, and she's on a new show that premieres at the end of the month called Transparent with Jeffrey Tambor.
Yeah, which was an excellent pilot.
I like the pilot a lot. I haven't seen the rest of the shows, but what's cool about...
I watched the rest of the shows.
What I like about
Amazon... good?
It's okay.
They're all okay.
Yeah.
Tambor's not great. Oh, he's
good.
He's
good.
But
it's a little pretentious. That's my biggest problem with the show, is it thinks it's smarter than it really... It thinks it's saying something bigger than it really is. And I'm kind of like, it's all right. It's okay. But I like what Amazon's doing, because they're not doing the net... They're kind of doing like a hybrid Netflix-Hulu model, where some of their shows they're going to release all at once.
Mm-hmm.
And then other ones like Alpha Dog or the new X-Files one.
The After.
They're doing... they're going to do week by week.
Week by week, yeah.
So I really kind of like that a lot.
And we were talking about that earlier, how the binge watching, I feel like. I like to watch two episodes one day, wait a few days, and watch another episode.
I can't binge anymore. Like,
well, Yahoo's doing that with the community. They're going to be doing weekly only.
So it's kind of nice. And, I mean, it'd be cool if they kind of did, like, even more of a hybrid where they did, like, two a week or something like that. Because people do, like, if you get really sucked into it, you want to watch, like, two episodes.
I feel like...
Three episodes is always a little
more... It's more so for a 30-minute episode rather than an hour episode.
Who's watching Alpha House, really?
Nobody's watching.
I don't even know what that is.
Although, I've had a chance to interview John Goodman a couple of times, and every time I've interviewed him, he's always been kind of, like, off. A little, not very personable, just uncomfortable. And he was just in such fun, rare form when he came for Alpha Dogs that I was like,
oh. It's Alpha House.
Alpha House. What's Alpha Dogs? Is that
So Gabby Hoffman.
So Gabby Hoffman, she stars in Transparent, and we all know that I have issues with her. But she was there, and she did not like that nobody was asking her questions and paying attention to her. So she actually, at one point, almost walked off stage.
You're kidding.
Wow.
And I was like,
she needs to take some tips from Will.
I was like, fucking Gabby Hoffman right here. And then it became this issue, like everybody with the digital day, it became this big issue that all the press people were like, well, you're not getting paid as much as if you were doing a network show. And they're like, actually we are. We're getting paid the same rate that I would get for network.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, that's normal. It's not like they're doing some pop-up Geek and Sundry thing, but they're getting...
Amazon doesn't have money to pay them?
Amazon has so much money. That's the funny thing, too. Like, they're going to be successful because they are... They're like, we have all this money for Amazon Studios, and we're just going to throw shit at the wall and see what sticks. And I like that they're just being bold. And people were like, oh, well, they're not doing what they promised that they would do, which is really be a place for new voices. But a lot of the people that have shows on Amazon...
Was Chris Carter out there, the X-Files?
Yes. And so
I'm glad he's back.
But that's the thing, is I like it because these are voices that can't get jobs normally, but they're really auteur and they really have something that they want to talk about. And I'm excited that Amazon's doing what they're doing. So
what are like one or two shows that we need to see, and one or two shows that we need to avoid?
Gotham and The Affair were my two favorites. The Affair is a drama on Showtime that stars Dominic West and Ruth Wilson from Luther as two married people who end up having an affair with each other. And it's got this, it's kind of got a True Detective-y vibe to it. It's very cinematic. It's very beautiful. And it's got one writer and director, which I really, really love. But it's, what's kind of cool is it's got this like little bit of an element of a murder mystery, like, because it takes place in two parts where it goes back, you see the affair from both perspectives, from Dominic's perspective and Ruth's perspective, and then you're also, in the future, they're getting investigated for something. So it's got, like, that same...
Layers.
It does have a lot of layers. It is very, if you have a problem with infidelity, which
like, it's not a show my mom would like watching. That is really, really rough.
What's
there is also
dumb?
A finger in the butt scene. Like
which is fun.
There's a finger in the
wait,
butt scene?
Yeah.
Whose finger goes into whose
Ruth
butt?
Wilson's finger goes into Joshua Jackson's butt.
Joshua Jackson's?
Mm-hmm. And he's great. He's all beauty.
She's amazing.
She's
awesome.
Amazing. She's so
Luther's
good. And it's
awesome.
Really, like, just, like, the little things in this show are so interesting because it's told from two different perspectives, you see how the other person sees the object of their affection from the two different ways and how they see themselves. So that's really interesting. Like, and when it's his, when he's telling the story, she's so beautiful and, like, vivacious and create and, like,
wait,
really interesting.
Let's go back to this finger in the butt scene. How long does this thing go on? How
well,
did you see it?
No. What happens is they're having sex, and she's like not into it at all because you find out that they had death in their family, and so she's not quite able to.
She's vulnerable.
She's very well. She's just not very because she's married to Joshua Jackson, and he's trying to reconnect with her and like move on from the tragedy, and she's just can't. And so they're having sex. And she's just, like, she just wants it over with. So she just sticks a finger in his butt so that...
Cum job. Have you done this?
No. We're going to call it a cum job. It was Gotham and The Affair are my two favorite. Just because I really miss True Detective, and it's got that same cinematic look. It's really crushing. So it's very, like, you're going to want to eat, like, a pint of ice cream after you watch an episode because it's really fucking sad.
What about the comedy side?
So the comedies, I really liked, although I don't think it's going to stick around because I think that it's too quirky. I really liked Marry Me, the new one from
Casper Van Dien.
Did you see
Casey Wilson? I fucking hate Mulaney. You're not talking
about
that show. That show
is awful. I've seen trailers for that.
I mean, it doesn't look good, but I was kidding.
Okay, here's a sign that you can tell a show is going to be bad. When they sent to the press the fifth episode.
The fifth episode?
Of a show that's only got six episodes.
Wow.
That was the best that they could send us.
And it wasn't good.
It was, and I hate it because John Mulaney is so funny. This show just needed a little bit more time. It's kind of, so Mulaney's on Fox. It stars John Mulaney, who used to be a writer for SNL. He's
NBC.
Responsible. No.
It's
it was Fox. NBC. NBC passed on it because it was terrible.
Yeah.
Then
Fox.
Then
is
Fox took
yeah,
it
because they like the there's a whole mini project model.
But it's a multicam with a studio audience, which I don't have a problem with.
Is
that.
It?
Yeah, studio audience. And it's told. So he's like a struggling comedian who gets a job on the show writing for Martin Short.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's got all these good people.
Like
Martin Short, Elliot Gould.
I like Nassim Pedrad.
Elliot Gould looks amazing.
But it's the so problem with it is, I wish they had just kept it and done some more retooling on it and maybe brought it out as a mid-season. It's not going
to
make it.
So is it like
awful.
Something like
well,
Louie or something like that?
No, it's not dark like Louie. It's more like a really sardonic Seinfeld. Like, I know that's kind of weird to say because I think that Seinfeld was pretty sardonic, but this is like... It's bleak because it's John Mulaney, and John Mulaney, as much as he wants to call himself like a happy comedian, he tells happy jokes with a darkness to them.
Okay.
So that's the issue. I think it doesn't, the look of it, the style of it doesn't hit. So I hated it. And I'm really sad because I love John Mulaney. And his panel was really good.
Yeah.
So, I know that he's got the talent to be funny. But I liked Marry Me. That's from the Happy Endings creators, who stars Casey Wilson and,
Ken Marino.
Ken Marino's just on fire. He's just
so
good.
As a newly engaged couple and how they're trying to deal with their issues. So it's funny. I don't think it's going to last. It was probably my favorite comedy pilot. But I don't think it's going to last because I think it's going to have the exact same problems that Happy Endings had, where it was cute and cute and then it just got too irreverent that people just fell off the wagon for it.
Well, if you thought that was quirky, what about Rashida Jones's name?
She has a new show? She does.
It's Tribeca. It's just produced by Steve Carell.
Yeah, they didn't
really?
Show, they didn't present that one.
It's basically like Naked Gun is what they're trying to go for, so it's really over the top.
So silly.
Yeah.
Like, so mm-hmm. Spoof.
Because the one that we saw from Rashida Jones was the one that she produced
yeah.
with the guy that she did.
Is it
Jesse A-Z? Less.
Or is it?
Yes.
Yeah.
It's A-Z. Which I actually like. It didn't get as much. So A to Z is it stars Christine Milotti from Happy End, not Happy Endings, from How I Met Your Mother.
I remember the mom.
Oh,
and then this the dude who cut off his ear in this last season of Mad Men.
Oh, the Jewish guy.
Yeah. So they're this couple that meet, and the, essentially the show, the arc of the show is that it shows a relationship from A to Z. And this an 8 month, they date for 8 months, and what's the life like? So people are like, it's very finite. And I'm like, it's also just showing them dating. You could also have them married.
Yeah.
They could have these.
So
elements.
Is it good or no?
I enjoy
it. Look cute.
The my problem with it is what I had with a lot of pilots, and I've been having with a lot of pilots, is that it is too close ended. So like everything is wrapped up at the end of the pilot. So you're like,
see, that's why I like Gotham, because you know, like, you can't wait for the second episode.
Yeah.
There's
this one I was like at the end of A to Z, which I enjoyed. I enjoyed the process. It was just like, well, I don't need to watch any more of the show because you basically told me on both ends what happens.
So you think the crop of new shows coming out, do you think it's better or just average, less than average than other years?
I feel like it's pretty average.
Average?
I don't think, I think ABC, they're the one that had the most new pilots, and I think not many of them are going to make it. I liked Cristela, which is a show about a Mexican-American family.
It seemed like George Lopez made it. So.
But it's with a girl. So and I liked
I think
it was
like the mom.
I also really liked, over on CW, they only have two new pilots this year. I really liked both The Flash and Jane the Virgin. I think.
Oh, how was The Flash?
It's good.
Also,
I really liked Jane the Virgin.
That preview
looks
horrible.
It's so campy and over the top, but if you liked like Ugly Betty, it's got that same heart to it.
Yeah.
And it's actually really sweet. The trailer is kind of stupid.
Yeah, the trailer makes it seem like
and the title is really stupid.
Yeah.
You're also forgetting iZombie.
I'm not forgetting iZombie. I just chose to not talk about
it. So was it good? iZombie's not good?
Well, iZombie was another pilot on CW.
But it's not, they didn't present it.
Oh, they didn't present it?
They showed The Flash at Comic-Con in the Gotham panel, and I thought
so,
it was
so
good.
So was Flash good?
The Flash, yeah.
Flash was good. It reminded me of, like, Smallville.
Yeah.
Well, they basically announced, like,
but Gotham was better.
Wentworth Miller is going to be...
He's going to be...
Captain Cold.
Mm-hmm. And they're going to be doing Flash, their Flash, Arrow, tie-overs all the time.
And I feel like that's going to be confusing if I start watching Flash, that I don't watch Arrow.
What will happen is you'll probably start watching Flash, and then want to go back and watch
One's
Arrow.
Green. Mm-hmm.
Is Robbie Amell Steve's brother?
Cousin. Okay. No, I'm good.
It's like Christmas.
Yeah, so I'm trying to think of what other shows. Those were pretty much all that I saw that I liked. HBO has a new miniseries starring Frances McDormand called Olive Kittredge, which is really good for the olds like me. It's
to your demographics.
They have another miniseries they announced. I can't remember what it was called.
They're doing...
This is really cool.
Yeah, they have an... was a big one, right?
This has a whole bunch of cast for it, too.
Well, speaking of new TV shows, I think it just came out in the news. What do y'all think? They just confirmed a new Arrested Development season.
Yeah.
On Netflix. What do you think?
I'm excited because I wasn't as impressed with this last comeback.
So is that because you binge-watched it?
Because
I watched them all at once, and I still liked it.
I watched two pieces. I didn't watch it.
Really?
Once. So I didn't binge.
They also said they're not going to do that same model. They're actually have everyone together.
So they got enough money to do it?
Well, it just is way never...
Is this not a redemptive moment, though? They also think, okay, we didn't really bring it last time.
I feel like they did bring it. It just was different.
No, they didn't. I mean, the problem is that they all wanted to do it. It didn't work with everybody's time schedules. But they would have, if they could have, they wanted to do them all together.
Those longer episodes also just killed the pacing.
Yeah.
It wasn't that, like, the first, like, big show they brought back for Netflix before?
Well, it was the first show they brought back for Netflix.
Yeah.
And then they did The Killing. After that.
Yeah.
What about that weird horse show that are going to be premiering on Netflix with Will Arnett as the voice of some talking horse?
What?
I love Mr. Ed.
Yeah.
Me too.
It's anime.
Great show.
It's really weird. But
yeah.
They're all super excited about it, though. I'm like, I don't know if that's going
to
be a hit.
I just want a second season of The Fall. I'm just waiting to see how Jamie Dornan's horse is doing.
You said something interesting. You love shows that have writer-directors do the whole thing, like
Carrie Fukunaga.
Can we talk about the dynamic of that? Like, because the Emmys have noticed. Carrie got nominated.
Yeah.
Well, Noah Hawley did it all for Fargo.
Yeah. And there's a lot of people that are saying that
that's
going to be
the second season of Fargo. He's writing the whole thing. And then you have somebody like Nick Pizzolatto, whatever, who did True Detective, who he's not writing all the episodes himself because HBO doesn't trust him. And
They're Cary Fukunaga's not coming back, and they're going to have different directors doing
it. Well, it's not going to be the same. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about, like, compared to other shows, like a Breaking Bad, there is a real moment when you see a different director come in and do a Fly episode.
Yeah.
Or, you know,
but what I
or have,
about,
like, Vince do the finale compared to What's-Her-Face.
Ryan Johnson.
Yeah, getting all the, you know.
Well, and I think what's interesting is I talked to Vince Gilligan about this at TCA, that one of the things I've always thought was great about Breaking Bad was anyone that he brought on as a writer-director of that show, because he couldn't do it, they always understood his vision. And yes, you could tell that this was a Rian Johnson episode, or this was a Gwyneth episode, or this was Michelle's episode, but they all got Vince's vision. I'm really concerned, because one of the things I love about True Detective is that it was all written by Nick, and it was all directed by Cary. And you could tell from, it just felt like a 10, or what was it, 8 episodes? Like an 8-hour film. Because it looked the same, it had that same cinematic touch to it that Cary Fukunaga brought into it. I am worried about season 2 of that show, specifically for the fact that it's not going to have that auteur touch that was so popular.
Are we going to see bigger names like The Nick just premiered on Cinemax, and that's Soderbergh on camera.
And I don't think it hasn't premiered yet, that was just they're doing a preview of it.
No, this
is
the
first.
It premiered.
Yeah.
It's on HBO. It did so good on Cinemax. They replayed it this weekend on HBO. You can watch it anytime on HBO Go.
Because you also have the outline of the premiere this week.
Yeah. Those are shows that have I mean, Soderbergh's on camera. He hasn't done that in, like, 5 years.
And I think Soderbergh did every episode.
Yeah.
Is that something new
that we couldn't see a big-time director do that? I don't know got into TV with The Strain, but
It's only one episode, right?
No, it's just one.
He directed the finale, but he's overseeing everything.
Everything, yeah. He's hands-on on it.
But that's different than
directing.
I mean, producing a show is completely different than directing.
But you take Soderbergh, who retired, but Guillermo literally has like 20 projects that he's doing right now. But like I like to say, like TV is so big right now, and it's gotten so much better over the last few years. I think that like if a Spielberg or, you know, a Tarantino were to create their own show, they would have like a job for, you know, maybe a year, like
instead of like 2 months.
And
I
then
do
you
agree
have to,
that
like,
I don't think that it's something that, I mean, that's why Cary Fukunaga didn't come back for the second season, was it took a long time. It takes longer to do that than it does
to a TV show.
They definitely want to do other stories, but I mean, it could be a great launching pad. Imagine like a young director. I mean, Cary.
Like Jill Soloway did all of Transparent.
Yeah.
And so,
I mean, I would like to see Ben Ziegler Beast in a while do like a TV show.
I thought of Jeff Nichols. If you gave
that would be
a
awesome.
Southern show for a year, he could tear that apart, and then he could do whatever the hell he wants.
And I always thought about that because I always see different directors and different writers, whether it be like 6 Feet Under or it was The Shield. I was like, how do these directors come in and like know where to take off?
I think there is. You're right. There's always like with Sopranos, there was Terrence Stamp.
Yeah,
I mean, it was his show through and through. But the director come in and give them something special and. It's cool to see directors come out of shows. I mean,
there's so many good ones. Like Michelle, who started doing, she was like doing Breaking Bad, and she did like Justified and stuff. And now she did Game of Thrones, and she's coming back for Better Call Saul. And it's cool because I'll start following these directors.
Yeah,
and I'll see that they're doing like a different show. I'm like, I have to watch that show. Like one of the directors did an episode of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. that had done an episode of Sons of Anarchy. And I was like, yes, I have to be on this. Because they're good at taking what the editor, what the producer wants and making it look good. Like, you watch an episode of Sons of Anarchy, it has different directors, different writers, but the touch is always, it is always Kurt Sutter's. And that's something that I think is really cool. Whereas if you watch something like, I could tell when they brought in a guest director to do an episode of The Office. Because it looked like shit.
Yeah.
Like the way that it was structured just looked awful.
But with something with like Arrested Development, with all the details of jokes and throwback jokes, I feel like they need like one person.
And I feel like the comedies still go through the talent more than the dramas, because like the comedic punch is off the talent, not the director's touch. Like,
yeah.
Well,
I mean,
Ruby has to know what the fuck he's doing, otherwise it fails. I mean, it's still on him, and comedies have that structure. But dramas could go anywhere. I think it's such an open, fun field.
I think I would love to see more directors do several episodes instead of just one episode here and there.
Like an arc would be cool if you start seeing arcs from But like Game of Thrones,
so they
Game of Thrones has
they
like,
do
to do two episodes in a row.
Yeah, exactly.
Yep,
so.
Yep.
And I think that's a cool because they get their
And
those are full hour shows. Those are it's a lot
with a lot of material. I mean, they get to jump around.
I'm sad about this season because they don't have any women directors for Game of Thrones.
Which is the first time they've had.
And they don't have any, I don't think they have any women writers either. There's no women writers or women directors, and that's been very rare because they've always had. It's going to be interesting to see how the characters fare in that.
What about the, so I guess a few podcasts ago, we tried to recast the second season of True Detective. Well, they it looks like they've come out with like two choices or three choices.
Elizabeth Moss?
Elizabeth Moss,
so Colin, right now, Colin Farrell,
Vince Vaughn.
Yeah.
But he's playing the villain, y'all.
Which is awesome.
I like
him as
a villain.
But
yeah.
We don't
that was
even
awesome.
Know if that, I mean, the thing is also,
it's all speculation.
Rumors. Those aren't even real things. Like,
well, I thought they were, like, in talks.
The scripts yet.
Like, Colin Farrell would be awesome.
Colin Farrell would be really cool. I would be down with Colin Farrell, because I think Colin Farrell can do dark and moody.
Yeah.
But I read a really great article about why...
Well, he's already talking about season three, and then season...
Like,
the second
finished.
Season.
But I thought I saw Elizabeth Moss on there, too.
She's in speculation.
So they're all in talks.
Hendrix, these are all... There's, like, tons of them that are in talks. He hasn't even written the scripts yet. They haven't even. They have no premiere date. It's not
going
to be ready.
What do you think? Do you think those are good choices?
Yeah. Well, I like.
I'd love to see Colin Farrell.
Yeah.
Colin would be great.
Liz Moss would be good. Yeah.
But it's not. And she's up for because they're going to have three detectives. It wouldn't just be.
Well, this has to be one main one and like two kind of support.
And what year is it going to be again?
It's turn of the century, but in California, and it deals with the transportation deals. It's. Okay. Chinatown before
okay.
they built the initial rail or highway system.
Okay.
Turn of the century America. Because
he says the third season is going to be like Big Lebowski is what he said. So,
which if you just wait and watch Inherent Vice,
he's slowly becoming like one of my least favorite.
Well, he had the big...
Just because he talks so damn much. Like, shut up and write.
True.
Well, they just had the allegations of him copyright, you know, stealing...
That's kind of bullshit.
Well, that's
how everyone borrows.
Everyone thinks it's
Yeah,
he should be a little bit more open with it, but I mean, his personality is on.
His personality is very much like I'm a literary badass and I'm going to do whatever I want. And that's one of the things. Like, I'm totally cool with that, but I'm also at the same time like the reason that that show is good is not because of the words you wrote because you stole them. It's because of
Did he really do that?
Yeah,
there is more ripped
under...
off from the old book, the Lugati book,
The Yellow King.
Yeah,
yeah.
I mean,
it's all straight verbiage.
Half of Matthew McConaughey's what he says on screen is words, not.
And he's being sued for that right now, right?
It's not being attacked for plagiarism.
Okay.
It's not even that he's getting.
But the studio's back. He's fine. Because
the thing at the end of the day is that anytime Russ would talk, he would say, a so-and-so would say, blah, blah. You know, it was always kind of cited. But the reason that show is so good is Matthew McConaughey and Woody Harrelson were amazing. And they need to have actors who can
spout chemistry.
Out that weird shit that he's going to be putting out as well.
Yeah.
As
they had perfect chemistry.
Yeah.
And they were such...
Well,
good characters.
They announced his other book, Galveston, is going to be turned into a movie with, I think, Corey Stoll.
I love Corey Stoll.
Yeah. Whose?
His Nick's other book, Galveston, which is
did it take place in Galveston, Texas?
Yes.
Sweet. That's cool.
There's a squirrel over there, like, sunbathing.
Oh,
yeah.
Totally
Supermaning. I just thought that was really funny.
That makes him bring up that crap.
What?
Why would I run my finger under my...
Are you talking about Superman Batman?
Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah, let's talk about that.
Let's talk...
It's a metaphor.
Let's talk
about... the sticks in their butts? That is cruel.
Let's talk about the movie releases that came out this week. There were literally like five movies that came out.
Oh, there's way more than five.
Maybe before, but there was a lot of movies that came out this
six.
Week. Let's talk... Let's
been fourth in Angelica.
Yeah. Let's talk about Calvary. I loved Calvary.
Oh, that's a great
that one
that
was one of the best movies I think this week.
Prettiest landscape shots. What was that? Did your phone just fart?
No, Simpsons update.
That was Homer.
Yeah.
How did you download the Simpsons?
I better put on some pants.
Simpsons tapped out game
to the hymn.
Fuck me, right?
Yeah.
We had so many Simpsons. Oh, shit. I got you guys Simpsons presents, the two of you. Sorry.
There was a Simpson world at Comic-Con, but the line was too long.
I saw the things about that.
My friend is recording all 500 episodes when they do...
Guys, I have a life.
Thank you.
I'm not going to sit and watch all of them.
They're like 20 minutes each.
I know.
Five hours. That's fine.
And no, it's not 500 hours, but basically he said that he's going to watch like two a day and it's like get rid of his DVR as it goes along. I'm like, you have to do way more than two a day because they're playing 40 episodes a day.
Oh, shit. I could watch like 4 or 5 episodes a day. It's like an hour and a half.
Right.
Like at night where you're doing something.
It's 12 days, which is ridiculous. It's only 12 days for 500 episodes.
I know.
It's
like, that doesn't
seem right.
Yeah.
But
it's a cool stunt.
I think it's... I do think...
No, I think it's smart. And what's his face? Al Jean.
He's like my new favorite dude. He's like so cool.
Well, that whole cast. Because
he came for Fox and he came for FX. And so he was a really cool dude.
The one person I feel bad for is Tracy Ullman since she...
She got that.
Everyone other than her on her show are basically super rich now because of Simpsons.
Let's go back to Calvary. How many people liked it? How many people
loved it?
Loved it?
That was great.
Do you think it's an Oscar potential
for
Brendan Gleeson acting?
Maybe.
I think you have to be in the right frame of mind to watch it. Like, you know, because sometimes
I think it's a very dark comedy.
What happens, I think.
But I also think it's really emotional.
Puts it over the top.
I highly doubt the film will get nominated. Maybe Brendan Gleeson, but I don't know. Like, it's too soon to tell. You have to see, like, what all the competition is.
Did anybody see What If, the Daniel Radcliffe?
Yeah.
I thought it was a very paint by the numbers, but the performances and script were pretty decent.
And it's a little off kilter of the normal Nicholas Sparks crap.
I love the script. The script was actually pretty good.
Did somebody die?
No.
You said Nicholas Sparks.
It was more like conventional than I thought it was going to be. Like it's very typical romantic.
It paint by the numbers,
it's so true. But the characters are so likable, like the four.
They are.
That's what you want in a romantic comedy.
Yeah.
I feel like you always know how a romantic comedy is going to go.
But I did want more Adam Driver and McKenzie.
Me too.
Yeah, like, I think the trailers build it as a very different romantic comedy.
That's why it bothered me, because the trailers and critics were saying this is like the best relationship comedy since 500 Days of Summer, and for me that's
not even the same.
That is also not even something I want to hear, because I hate my
life. Oh, I love that part of the summer.
It's a very
I like
smart
the part
movie.
Where he doesn't get the girl at the end. That's my
he gets
favorite.
A heart.
I absolutely love 500 Days of Summer. And, like, those are big words to say to me. Like, when so the whole time I'm watching this, I'm like, wow, so there's got to be some kind of, like, really different aspect to this movie.
Man, it wasn't.
And it wasn't at all. It's set
I still laughed. That's what I mean, enjoyed.
It's totally still enjoyable. It's cute.
When did you laugh, though?
Adam Driver.
But there's some funny parts with Radcliffe.
Radcliffe was by far the worst of the four, but I still liked him.
I liked him.
Wait for Horns. I can't
wait for that.
Also, the second season of The Doctor's Notebook.
Doctor's Notebook.
Which I really like. I like him on
the
show with John Hamm.
With John Hamm.
I'm like, I don't know movies, guys. But
you grew 2 feet, and
let's talk about. Was there anybody here that liked Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles?
No,
I enjoyed it.
The turtles.
How did you enjoy it?
Okay, I enjoyed it. I definitely enjoyed
it's
the turtles.
It's really nostalgic.
And I think Susan and I talked about this after we saw it, that we wish that they had started with like their origin story. They show halfway through and just started with that, and then like the.
The visual effects look good. Other than
the book of karate and the
so what? The best part was
the beatbox scene.
The best part was the flashback of how they got created.
Yeah,
and saw
I was
them grow
so
up.
Fine with that.
Everything was
like a dropped canister of ooze on them.
So they're supposed to be 15 years old? Is that what the?
They're teenagers, and I'll say Will Arnett seemed out of place there. Megan Fox did not have any chemistry at all. He did not do well. And Megan Fox, like I said, wants her heart, gives it her all, but she's terrible.
She has this thing that she does with her mouth that drives me insane. She goes she does her, this with her lips like.
She
can't help that, though. It's all the collagen.
Yeah.
Like, I know it's really petty, but the whole time, because it was such extreme close-ups, all I kept staring at was her chin acne. And
a beautiful girl.
She is pretty.
Why? What is happening right now?
Proactive.
The part that cracked me up, though, me and my friend, like, the rocks fall on the splinter or whatever, and she goes for the littlest rock. And she goes,
What? Well, I understand the mutagen's in his blood. Why don't they just take Splinter instead of having to take the turtles? Yes.
I don't even know.
It was just a strange dynamic. I felt like they really wanted to go a realistic route with everything, except for Shredder. Yeah. Shredder was so over the top, it didn't match with the rest of the movies.
Is Shredder dead? We're on the end of it now.
It doesn't matter.
No.
I mean, I saw his hand.
There is a sequel. They're going to do
it. Okay. No, I knew they were
going to
do a sequel
because
it's
going to
be the number one movie.
Well, it's already
is.
I made $65 million this week.
So, okay.
That
so
sucks.
Here's the thing. I enjoy the Turtles. I think that it was fine. I think it's also one of the first movies I've seen in a really long time that was actually good for kids. Like, if somebody, I always get asked, like, what do you recommend for, like, for a boy?
That's
kid?
Better than How to Train Your Dragon.
No way.
No, I know this is stupid, but I know so many parents who don't take their kids to see animated movies. They don't want, they're like, my kid's 10, I don't want to take him to an animated movie. I'm like, okay, first of all,
what's that French film that y'all played, Angelica, the bear one?
Ernest and Celestine.
I wish people would go see that rather than Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Yeah. And there's another article I read about Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles about how the whole gist of it was they didn't want it to have like a plot at all. They were like,
that's ridiculous. It could have been so good. It could have been.
They were so lazy with their script. It was the most typical bad guy. Like, you knew. I mean, who did
he was a bad guy just to be a bad guy.
Like, he
there's no point
like a bad
to
guy.
It.
As soon as he got on the screen, I was like, you're obviously. Spoilers. It's like I knew all of what was going
to
happen.
But I feel like the best part, you got to see the turtles be Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles when in the beatboxing in the elevator because they were having fun.
That was,
and then
that
all
was
of a sudden,
that
in
funny.
That second,
that
they were going to be badasses when the door opened. You're like, oh, fuck yeah. That's
but
what
then
they
I thought that too because they're brothers and like the bonding moments in the movie were really good.
Say that thing.
There was no bonding moment. There was no bonding moment except for that scene.
There was that one, but there was also like them fighting in the sewer.
I love
like they have to be. They have
Donatello's voice though. Oh my god, they're nuts!
And I thought it was weird that I got. I mean, I
see,
get that they showed.
And that's what I said. The turtles.
I did not
were
enjoy
like,
the turtles.
I like
part.
The turtles.
It,
were the
story
best.
Story is lazy.
Get rid of everything. Story's lazy. It was
it's
stupid.
Like, oh, we just discovered these turtles are alive. Oh, we have these cages already made specifically for them that they can't break out.
I just thought that
yeah.
The turtles that we all saw, like, their different personalities, but we never saw, like, why Raphael the only one that had a New York accent? Why was Donatello the geek? Why?
Also, okay, I know this is
that
might
story,
be a little, yeah, little racist-y of me.
Uh-oh.
But they, a couple, like, at least with...
their teeth?
Maybe with Michelangelo and maybe Raphael, I imagine that they were black characters, like, that they were going to be. And then I go and I look online, and they're all white. And I'm like,
well,
what?
White guys,
why are you talking in that style?
They're green.
It seemed a little racist-y to me.
Now
I was like, no, it just seemed racist to me because I thought it was going to be one way, and then I was expecting it to like be Michael B. Hall.
If Anthony Mackie could play all four
you
of them,
you felt like Raphael needed a gold
Kevin Hart.
No, I just needed it to be played by. I just wanted to be played by a black actor, and it wasn't. It was all right.
So our resident 6-year-old loved Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
I didn't love it, but I didn't hate it.
All right,
I
so,
had an enjoyable time, and then I had a pizza.
I'd still
afterwards.
Spank that little bastard six-year-old.
I went home and ate an entire
go
pizza.
Go see Guardians.
That
I agree.
Like, eaten pizza during that and like enhanced. By
so, food. Did anybody see 100-Foot Journey or Into the Storm?
I saw
Into
the Storm.
How was Into the Storm?
I loved it.
Amazing.
Was it good?
I thought I had a great time.
It
was better than I thought it would be.
Let's snap a drink on Brave.
Wait a second. Was it a bigger budget sci-fi original
the plot,
movie?
Yes.
Okay. The plot itself is like, the loosest of plots ever.
The plot is so stupid.
Hey, storm-chasing crew. Take me to find my son who apparently decided to go to...
He got trapped in the... Oh, no.
Yeah, it was Armitage.
And he's drowning.
Was it Richard Armitage again?
He was the worst part.
Really?
And yeah, he
and
was
I love
so
Matt
over
Matt
the top.
Armitage.
Matt
Armitage.
Walsh stole the show.
Yeah,
and Lou, the other comedian, the guy who played the two country guys.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, and then John Reed also.
Yeah, John
and
Reed, that guy.
John
I
Reed.
Just remember him as the guy who played the retarded guy from It's Always Sunny.
He's a funny comedian.
I'm not retarded.
He is funny. I loved him when he was on Last Comic Standing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wait, compare Into the Storm to Day After Tomorrow. I like Day After Tomorrow. So.
Day After Tomorrow has way more plot.
And way more budget.
This is much better
this is
idea just, with the camera work, though.
Yeah, this is really fun, like, found footage-y sort of thing.
Was that 3D?
So was it like
no.
Twister?
No.
Well, the storyline is very
It's very close to Sharknado, actually.
It's like Sharknado. Without sharks.
You know what really made it? Cool. The sound.
Sharknado
the sound was good.
The sound was quite amazing. They got the gust of wind
perfect.
And it was spooky and kind of...
There were parts when they would like... Because you would see a lot, since it was... Except for a few times, it was whatever the camera was seeing would happen. So you'd see their faces because it'd be a camera guy and then shoot up and you'd be like, oh shit. Like there was one point, there was a fire tornado, guys.
Right.
A tornado that caught on fire.
That's real. I've seen that online before. So,
well, and then you had the guy who was basking in the third never ending story playing the camera guy.
Yes.
That's all I kept thinking of.
So in the two... right after the movie, y'all two saw it together. What were your reactions to each other?
We enjoyed the hell out of it.
We had so
y'all are like that.
It's awesome. One of those movies, if you could talk during a movie, you have to talk during
the movie. Is it a drinking movie?
Yes. Or other things.
Yeah.
It has to be something more like...
Amy Traumatized, you're holding on to her and nothing else.
I love Richard Armitage. I know. I was like, there's a lot of cardio in this movie. Like, the way they were doing things, I was like, you're a principal. When do you have time to do all this cardio?
He's a vice principal.
Also, why is the...
he's a principal.
How is the school the storm shelter, but there's no type of shelter part? They're just
it's no underground.
Yeah. I'm like, that's... No.
And the airport.
Oh, also, can we talk... There was an airport.
The international airport in the small town.
Little town, and they have, like, a ginormous international airport. I was like...
Wasn't like Love Field.
Why are there so many 747s?
And like Sheboygan. Yeah. That's awesome.
But
All right. So you'd recommend it.
Yeah.
I would say, you know, it's one of those ones.
No brainer fun. You know,
it's a hell of a lot more fun than Teenage Mutant.
It is.
Right?
I would probably agree. And
probably.
I would say it's really good. It would be like an old lady matinee. Like, go see the first showing of the day at 5 p.m.
Don't pay the full price.
Don't pay the full price for it.
All right. Did anybody see 100 Foot Journey?
No.
I had a writer go see it, and she said like it was really cheesy because they had before the movie they had Spielberg and Oprah intro it,
of course,
and they're just kind of like it was just kind of really cheesy, and they were doing like food puns during it or something like that.
It made lots of money.
Box office. It's probably going to do a lot better than we think it will.
Well,
Everybody was surprised by Best Marigold Hotel. Which is funny because they have like, I was like, oh, is this a sequel?
The second Best Marigold Hotel is coming out pretty soon.
I can't believe, with five critics here,
none of us saw that movie.
I had a choice to see Into the Story. I don't 100 Foot Journey and I was like, you know what? I'm just not going to go to either. I'm going to go have a comm job. I went to three screenings already. I was like, I really don't want to.
Oh yeah, but you and I, Susan and I, and Frank and Paul Southam were the only four critics at The Game Stands Tall.
Which was Susan's favorite movie. No, God, no. The whole time as soon as it started, I was like, ugh.
When The Game Stands Tall.
I was like, when is this over?
Yeah. Is it an upcoming football movie? Kind of like Remember the Titans, but much worse.
Isn't it based on
the Titans?
Remember the
Titans is good.
It's kind of like We Are Marshall. It's a real story.
It is a real story. But it's not about that.
The very first five minutes is about them winning.
And then they lose.
There was some really bad acting, I mean, throughout the film.
It's so
especially
cheesy.
Especially in the beginning because they're like these football
players. Did you like Friday Night Lights, the movie?
I did.
Yeah. Okay.
I liked it.
It must suck then if it's nowhere near.
It's not good.
Like,
if you just replicate Friday Night Lights, you get a good movie.
I mean, it was okay.
Michael Chiklis was good. Jim Caviezel had no emotion.
We need a remake of Alive. Once he has a heart scan, a Chilean soccer team.
That was the great.
Basically. No.
But I want to see them eating each other again. I want to see a remake of the Lives. Let's get that. You know,
but an NBA basketball team.
Soccer is super hot.
That's the hot sauce.
No, it's not.
Because of the World Cup.
Football's on now. Cowboys played recently. They lost, but...
Was it preseason?
Chicken dinner. But...
Who did the Cowboys play recently this past
week? How'd they already play?
They played preseason.
San Diego Chargers.
Yeah, they lost big time. Yeah.
Big time?
Comic-Con.
Well, it's preseason. Preseason doesn't count for anything.
Yeah.
What are we talking about? Also this week,
Dragon Ball Z premiered a new movie for the first time in 13 years.
They kept sending me updates on that.
Yeah.
Was it good?
I heard it's really, really cartoon, like cartoony. Like, not really
I watched the original series.
Wow, cartoons cartoony.
No, but people are... I like the more serious six Dragon Ball Z, not the cartoonist. The villain got angry with the story of the world because no one would give him a cup of pudding.
Give the kid a cup of... Okay, guys,
yeah.
I've killed for less.
Pudding.
I know.
I love sticky pudding.
I love pudding so much.
I like all the pudding.
I like bread pudding.
But yeah, it did ridiculous numbers.
I don't like bread
it's
pudding.
It's 1 week engagement.
I like bread pudding. I don't like flan either. And I don't like creme brulee, and I don't like lime.
You know what you don't like?
Creme brulee.
You don't like
lime.
I don't like custard.
Exactly.
No,
custard.
I don't like
custard.
Creme brulee is so good, especially when they like light it at the top.
Yeah.
I like the process
I like
of it.
Fiery
I just don't
sugar.
Like eating
it. Oh,
yeah.
What's wrong with you?
I like Bananas Foster's. It's also
gross. Amazing.
I went to Table 13 yesterday, because it's restaurant week with Katie, and like everyone was getting part of their dessert.
Isn't
I like
it,
bananas.
It's really like the rest of the month, though, isn't it?
It's,
like,
3 weeks of different
yeah.
restaurants, but we had such, oh my god, the food was so good.
I want to go, but I'm like,
I want to go, that sounds awesome.
You can go to like, just look up what restaurants
there's
are doing.
There's 300 restaurants. You can
how many restaurants have you gone to?
Oh, just been to the one. This, but it just started. No, it just started. I've gone the past 2 years.
Yeah.
I want to go to Rise Number One, the all souffle, all the time restaurant. In Inwood Village.
Ooh.
They only make souffles.
Let's go,
I just like getting filets. Any
restaurant
part, like,
let's do it.
Filet as part
multimedia
of
man
does
food.
You're saying it. We're not doing it.
Let's do it.
Where do I do it?
Let's,
where do we start first?
All right. Let's end
a donut.
Let's end our podcast with...
end our podcast?
The best animal song.
How many releases you just want to talk about this week? Is what you're saying?
Yeah, just this week. Yeah, that's it. Let's do the best animal talking movies.
Well, because we all, I think everybody at this table has seen
Guardians
of the Galaxy
and we like
several times yet.
And everybody's in makeup
and
or boys except for Chris Pratt in that movie.
Oh, Chris Pratt. What a babe. Oh, can we
just
everybody!
Anytime he came on screen, I was like, what is happening to my body?
Both Gwen and Susan just had cum job right now at the mention of
Chris
Pratt.
Like, it's so
hot. When they absorb the Infinity Stone's power, and then he has the eyes, and he's all, like, smoldery,
he's
and
like,
I'm like,
what's happening?
So in conjunction
wow.
with Rocket the Raccoon, such animal-talking movies, let's go around and think of our the best... animal talking movies that we've seen.
So let's, we're going to go ahead and rule out, I mean, obviously Guardians of the Galaxy.
Well, you know, the whole Air Bud.
Did he talk?
He
didn't talk.
30 movies of
a little stupid dog with the basketball.
We're all ignoring.
Look who's talking now.
Are we saying only live action or are we including animated movies?
I'm so confused
sure.
right now.
Right.
Yeah, why not?
That's talking animals. Animals.
Ratatouille.
Right?
Ratatouille.
Yeah, so it could be Wilbur.
Ratatouille.
Ratatouille.
What's...
I'm going with
Homeward Bound.
I'm going with Homeward Bound, The Incredible Journey.
Homeward Bound was good.
Oh,
Fluke.
Yeah, Fluke was crushing.
That was like a very depressing kid's movie.
I don't
movie.
Want to talk
except
about it.
Except for the totally racist thing where the black guy becomes the squirrel.
That's true.
Oh, Fallen.
That's
Babe.
A good one.
Babe is obviously
yeah.
the cat.
But let's go back to Homeward Bound, man. Michael J. Fox, Don Ameche, and Sally Field.
That's
perfect
a great
voice
one.
Casting.
I still, I've had... 3 golden retrievers now, and I still get so bummed out when I think about Shadow and like how he almost died, and then he comes, like hopping up the hill.
It's a big fucking hill.
And I was like, Shadow!
Another thing sad about Calvary is the dog thing. I can't.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Not cool.
Oh, I
still don't know. Oh wait, he told us.
Yeah.
Based on Susan's recommendation, I finally watched Warren Jeffs movie on Lifetime. I couldn't watch the animal killing scene.
I covered my eyes.
I was
like,
just like.
What about Up?
Squirrel! Squirrel!
Five Goes West was pretty good, too.
Yeah. The original one.
This isn't a movie, but forever I will always love Salem the Cat from Sabrina the Teenage
Witch. I really want to...
There is a Sabrina the Teenage Witch.
They're remaking it, yeah.
There was a movie, too.
There was a movie.
There was the movie, and then the movie did so well that they did the TV show from.
Yeah, exactly.
They're doing a movie. They're going to remake it.
I'm so down.
Well, I'm going to watch it because she changed my life.
Look who's talking now. Danny DeVito was the boy dog.
I'm thinking of the babies.
Yeah.
No, look who's talking now. It's that was the dog one.
Yeah.
Because the children were older enough. Old enough to talk.
Who played the poodle?
Was it Diane Keaton?
Yes. And I guess she wasn't a poodle.
I hate that I know
that.
That is kind of
I'm sure Johnny was Beverly Hills Chihuahua over there.
No. That one was
all for dogs.
Why has Woody Allen not made a talking animal?
Because Woody Allen
he was an ant.
Oh yeah, that's right. And Z. It was great.
Yeah.
That.
Ant is great.
And Z was great. Sylvester Stallone was like a soldier.
Yeah.
I have that on VHS.
I want to think of more live action ones. Why'd you bring up Fluke? Holy shit, that just depresses me.
Terrible.
Milo and Otis also. Oh no, they don't talk.
Also,
it's all narrated.
It's all
narrated. It's narrated, yeah.
Then there's a terrible
and
Babe.
I agree on Babe.
Good Boy with Matthew Broderick as the alien dog that needs his spaceship.
That's what he's with the Shaggy dog.
Yeah.
With Tim Allen.
There's Brian from Family Guy. Oh, that's a show.
That's a good show.
Mm-hmm. Live action. Is there one with a bear? I'm trying to think if there's one with a bear.
Well, there's Jungle Book. But he's not
Yogi
a
with a live action Yogi movie.
Terrible. Yeah.
Yeah,
the
Yogi cat.
Planet of the Apes. Excellent. Excellent.
Caesar.
The old ones, yeah.
Caesar. Now we're just coming up with ones. These aren't the, yeah, that one's actually good.
Planet of the Apes, yeah.
I was like, no, we can't use Yogi Bear. That's a shitty movie.
Yeah, that's true. Fluke is actually good, but man, that is
it
oppressing.
Breaks my heart.
Fucking so, yeah, I always cry.
Is there a Netflix like subgenre of talking
sure,
animals?
I'm sure talking animals that are depressing. Awesome.
Well, Aqua Teen is food.
That's true. And it's good.
All right. I'll go with that.
Who wrote The Moon Rules? On the back of my car.
We did. Smoke while you were doing so. So is that all we can come up with?
Yeah.
Well, there's all the Disney movies. You know.
Yeah. If we want to go into animated.
Yeah.
I want to do live action. That's harder.
Live action is harder. I'm trying to think.
Is Chewbacca a talking animal?
Well, I guess he doesn't talk.
Well, they understand.
He
doesn't
talk.
Really
yeah,
talk.
He doesn't talk.
There's all the talking horse movies.
Have y'all seen the picture of him grabbing Leia's boob?
Hot to Trot.
Hot to Trot. Oh, yeah.
Bob John Candy is the
the
hop, the horse, and Bob Pat Goldthwait is the.
Is it?
Yeah, John Candy is definitely
yeah.
the. You never seen Hot to Trot? No. Bob Pat Goldthwait finds a talking horse, and the voice is John Candy.
No way.
Yes, it's called Hot to Trot. It's before he became a good filmmaker. It was when he was, like, crazy. You haven't seen this? Go look up Hot to Trot.
Hot to Trot.
Falcor? Is that an animal?
He talks.
Falcor, the animal in Enterprise Story? Hell yeah, he talks.
I guess it's an
if you watch that scene again,
it's not, I mean, that's fantasy.
Yeah.
That's
if you watch it again, it's extremely sexy.
Creepy.
Oh,
yeah, it is.
What about
stretch right here.
What about Dragonheart?
I love
oh,
that.
Oh, yeah. But that's fantasy, too, right?
Yeah, so that's what I'm saying. If
but
we're
it's
going to
dragon,
realm, yeah.
Just Charge, though. Just Charge.
Love it.
Was it Jiminy Cricket? That little bastard talked to him.
But that was, that's everything to do.
Wasn't that? Yeah. That's
that
true.
Only counts on once.
What about, what's the one, Mary Poppins? They have, there's no bed knobs
and broomsticks. Oh,
yeah.
They're all animated also, though.
Yeah. No, that's live action that goes into animation. Angela Lansbury is a person.
There's the key. She's still alive, by the way. Just
damn right.
You
know
what?
Still would.
Still would.
Wow. Still would.
She's in the Dragon of Daisy
so.
On Broadway right now.
Oh.
With
which is not Coming to Dallas?
Or Betty White?
Coming to Dallas.
They're pretty close.
And
to the same
and
Maggie age.
Smith, they're all like the same age.
Not so much.
What about the talking moose head from Return to Oz?
What about this show, Wilford? That dog talks his ass off.
That's
I
true.
Love
the trailers for the new season are awesome.
He's funnier that way.
He is. I'm trying to think of other ones. I guess that's it.
I mean, there's other. There are ones, but I can't.
Well,
yeah.
Let us know.
There's a lot of terrible ones. I'm just trying to think of good ones.
Yeah, that's the thing.
Has there been an Oscar winning one?
Oscar-winning animal. I think Babe was nominated for an Oscar for like
oh yeah,
or something. Yeah.
It's crazy.
Love
Babe picking the city
yeah.
was nominated.
Charlotte's
I
Web.
Fried like a baby.
Charlotte's Web.
Babe makes me. I don't eat pork because of Babe. I eat bacon.
You just food. Ate pork.
No, that was turkey. And bacon's a spice, so that doesn't count.
Sprinkle some bacon on top
so
of it.
I just like think. I like to think of Templeton from Charlotte's Web. Big old Yay Templeton. Are you gonna eat that rotten egg over there?
Oh, that sounds like that's a terrible movie.
It's not gay, it's Disney.
It's Disney. All right, well, that's our podcast 39. We'll be back with podcast 40 next week.
Any other talking animal movies?
Let us know on our Facebook, our
I'm
Twitter,
miss
or
Instagram.
I didn't get to like look it up.
So that was
spontaneity.
Cool. Spontaneity.
Oh, yeah, a terrible talking parrot
Polly?
Movie. Polly.
Polly.
Do they talk in Dr. Doolittle, or does he just... They talk in Dr.
Doolittle. Oh, yeah, they do. Yeah. Dr. Doolittle.
How did we miss that one?
Because it's a shitty movie, guys. Hey, the original, second one I really like, because Raven Simone, she has that line, she's like, what am I supposed to do without
is
my
Michael
Caine?
No, it's not.
That's one of the best lines.
I like how we end with Raven Simone.
Yeah.
Isn't it the dude that was in The Beginners?
Possibly.
The Beginners.
I thought it was...
Christopher Plummer?
I think it's Christopher Plummer that was in Dr. Doolittle.
Might have been.
Oh, the original.
Yeah, the original.
Yeah.
That's great.
I don't count.
I'm pretty sure.
Sure.
It was Christopher
Plummer. Yeah.
Well, that's our
also
podcast. We had fun.
Donkey.
We are the Multimedia Men. Check
oh,
us out on Facebook.
You signed us out.
Twitter.
Yet?
We're signing us off.
Sign
right
out.
Now. Sign out.
Bye.
Come job.
Come job.
Come job.
Come job.
Bye.
You guys added much more of a U.
What was
o.
this?
Hey.